Hey there, back again here on the Bernie Miklas Show, too, on this Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday, right? Yeah. I was thinking I want to do a quickie on Albert Pujols because the Hall of Fame voting was announced yesterday. And of course, Ichiro, who should have been an obvious choice and a unanimous choice, he fell one vote short of receiving the highest honor, which would be voted in the Hall of Fame unanimously. One lunkhead left him off their ballot. It's always got to be one, right? So I was thinking about this, and my good friend and longtime colleague at the Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould, wrote about this today. You can go to STL today to find that. But I was thinking about this. If Albert Pujols, who was eligible for Cooperstown for the first time in 2028, will he be the next guy? Does he have a great chance to be voted in unanimously? And I just don't know anymore because we've seen, listen, I think it's a lot better than it used to be. I really mean that. As the Hall of Fame voters, the Baseball Writers Association, the electorate has changed. You had a lot of, you know, senior, a lot of veteran, a lot of guys have been covering baseball for, you know, a long, long time. They're kind of used to the old standards of evaluating players. And then there were all these really stupid standards. It's like, well, I can't vote for him to induct him in the first year because that's not what we did back when Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and Hornsby and all of them, we never voted any of them in the first time they were eligible on the ballot. So I have to respect that standard. You know, I'm not going to vote for Albert Pujols first time on the ballot to put him in. That's just not the way we've done it here. Now, that has changed, thankfully. Not all the way, but it has changed and evolved dramatically. The younger voters who are just, you know, frankly, just more with it as far as really, really trying. Most of them, not all of them. There's always some clowns, but most of them trying to do their best to choose who they're going to put on their ballot. You know, you can vote for 10. I have no respect for these clowns that send in blank ballots because first all that really does is hurt maybe candidates that need every vote to get that 75% clearance and get into the Hall of Fame. And so when some buffoon sends in a blank ballot, I mean, he's really hurting deserving candidates. And that's just stupid, you know, and it's also just unnecessarily hostile. And what kind of message are you trying to send? Like, you don't think anyone is worthy of your vote to get into the Hall of Fame? Do you not like the Hall of Fame? Are you trying to get attention? Do you want people writing and talking about you? Like, what is the motivation for having a blank Hall of Fame ballot? And when you send it in, it counts. That stuff drives me crazy. It has for a long time. This stuff about, as I just mentioned, well, I can't vote for Pujols first time because that would break the standards set by our forefathers in the Baseball Writers Association. You know, I mean, come on. You know, everything in the world has changed. A lot of it, yeah, maybe not for the better, but my goodness, how we evolve as a people every single year. And you still got, there's at least some out there, you know, who feel, well, recently there were still some out there who felt, you know, they respect their elders who used to vote because the elders made some of the great ones wait, you know. So it's only fair to honor that standard. No, it's not. It's actually quite dumb. It's idiotic is what it is. So I do think the electorate's gotten a lot smarter as the electorate has turned younger and not so set in its ways. And most guys and women try to do the best. Not all, but seriously, a lot of them do. However, you know, there's always got to be one. So when Ichiro, you know, one in a landslide as far as getting the 75%. But there was one holdout and whatever. You're not going to change these folks. And by the time I at the time I record this, no one is come forward to say, "Well, I was the lunkhead." And that's why I think the Baseball Writers Association, some members have been pushing to, in effect, compel all the voters to reveal their ballots publicly. What's wrong with that? Unless you're ashamed of how you filled in your ballot, you know, unless you would be embarrassed by it, why would you care? And if you believe in your ballot, even as silly as the rest of us may think it is, well, why would you care if people made fun of it, or people made fun of you, or people suggested this guy or woman shouldn't even be voting? Why do you care? If you believe in the ballot that you sent in, as flawed as it may be, as silly as it may be, why do you care if your name is revealed? Like everyone else's name would be revealed if all Hall of Fame ballots are, it's mandatory that they're all revealed. A lot of the writers, to their credit, reveal it anyway. I mean, I don't know how many, but it's a huge amount. So can Pujols be the next? The only other person to ever get a unanimous vote was Mariano Rivera, the great Yankees closer. And so, you know, some of this stuff going back in the past, this is what I'm talking about. And I know I'm hopping around here, but just ride with me, because it's a fun topic, I think. Interesting topic. It also gets the blood boiling a little bit. This is what I'm talking about. Like these holdouts, like way back in the day. Well, you know, I can't. No, we set a standard here. Our policies, we're not going to vote. I don't care how great they are. They're not getting in the first ballot. Stan the Man got 93% of the vote. Bob Gibson got 84% of the vote. Another great Cardinal, most of the time, Rogers Hornsby, 78% the vote. I can go through this. I mean, come on. Again, what point were they trying to make? The only thing, you know, unless the point they were trying to make is like, hey, look at us. We're really bullheaded, stubborn, backwards thinking dinosaurs. And look at us. We're proud of it. We're proud to be dinosaurs. We're proud to be out of touch with reality. We're proud to like set standards so ridiculously high that you're not going to vote for Stan Musial the first time on the ballot. Some of you or some of them didn't do that. What message are you trying to send other than it's really, really dumb? All right. Albert Pujols in 2028. By the way, he'll be eligible for the Cardinals Hall of Fame before that. I forget the year, but it's coming up soon. And the same with Yadier Molina. And then it'll be Adam Wainwright the following year. Here's a question. Why wouldn't Pujols be a unanimous electee, inductee? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There's one player in the history of Major League Baseball, which goes back to the late 1800s. One player has done this in our national pastime. One player. A combination of at least 3,000 hits, at least 700 home runs, at least 2,000 RBIs. Let me do that again. I apologize. One player has done this, at least 3,000 hits, at least 700 homers, at least 2,000 RBIs, and multiple MVP awards. Pujols won three. One player in the history of the game has done that, Albert Pujols. So what would be the reason to, if you're sitting at home, dumb voter, petty voter, what would be your reason to sit there and say, Pujols will get in, but I'm not convinced. I mean, seriously, and don't these people realize how bad they make the whole institution. I'm talking about the Baseball Writers Association, how bad they make their colleagues look. Because most, like I said, most of the guys and women who vote are really trying to do it right. And so when you have one, you know, blockhead, he's going to sit there in 2028 and say, well, Pujols will get in, so I'm going to vote for someone who needs my vote. Pujols has got plenty. See, that's not the way it should be either. You look at a resume, you look at a career, and either, you know, when someone puts together the career Pujols did, oh, and by the way, two World Series championships and an unbelievable postseason record. Like, if it's one of those just no doubt about it candidates where there really is no doubt about it, don't play games. Check his name on the ballot. Listen, there's a lot of debate about a lot of candidates, even some really good candidates that I may feel, oh, yeah, he should be in. Others may disagree. And I can see maybe why they disagree, or maybe they don't look at the same data that I do, things like that. But when the whole world basically that follows baseball said, well, of course Albert Pujols is a Hall of Famer. There's no reason whatsoever not to vote for him the first time he's on the ballot. See, I don't understand the game playing. I don't understand the ego. I don't understand the audacity of people that would just say, no, well, I don't have to vote for him. You know what? Give up your ballot. Don't vote. Withdraw from the process. If you can't even try to do this in a credible manner, don't vote. Just tell the Hall of Fame, tell the baseball writers, I don't want a ballot. Okay, Pujols. Only player in the history of the game, 3,000 hits, 2,000 RBIs, 700 homers, multiple RBI, multiple MVP awards. You know, but there's more to him than that. First of all, his first 10 seasons in the majors, first 10 with the Cardinals, 2001 through 2010. His 11th season with the Cardinals was 2011. But the first 10s, he's up there with Ted Williams, is the greatest first 10 season in the history of baseball. In fact, only Ted Williams had more wins above replacement over the first 10 seasons of his career than Albert Pujols in the history of baseball. And in his first 10 seasons with the Cardinals, first 10 seasons of his career, Pujols hit over every single year, all 10 years, 10 years straight, hit over 300, had more than 30 homers, more than 100 RBIs in each of his first 10 seasons. The only player in Major League history to do that more often in a season is Babe Ruth, who did it more than 10 times. But Babe never did it 10 years in a row. Pujols is the only hitter ever to do that 10 years in a row. 300-plus batting average, 30-plus homers, 100-plus RBIs, or over those things. So, again, slam dunk. But if you look at what Pujols did, like his first 11 seasons as a Cardinal, like, and he had that glorious farewell season in 2022. It's just amazing to just try to take in the full body of it, right? From 2001 through 2011, he won three MVP awards. He finished second four times. He was third another time. He got MVP votes in all 11 seasons that he was the Cardinal the first time around. He was a rookie of the year. He won two gold gloves, which was a travesty. More on that in a moment. And he had five silver slugger awards. All of this in 11 seasons. His first nine seasons in baseball, he had at least seven wins above replacement. All those first nine seasons, and he was close in 2010. 2011, the war started to dip, which was basically an indicator that the Anaheim years wouldn't be as good as the St. Louis years. But do you look at his first 11 seasons in the majors? He led the majors in wins above replacement. He led the majors in home runs, from 2001 through 2011. Led the majors in wins above replacement, led the majors in home runs, led the majors in RBIs, led the majors in runs scored, led the majors in weighted runs created plus, 67% above the league average. Actually, he was second. Barry Bonds was first. And Bonds had the best OPS over those 10 years. It was 11 years, I'm sorry. And Pujols was second. And then you look at the postseason record. It's just sick. It's so good. It's just so incredibly good. If you look at his postseason success as a Cardinal the first time around, 2001 through 2011, he hit 19 home runs. He drove in 54 runs. He scored 55 runs. He batted 323. He had a 431 on-base percentage. He slugged 599. That's what he did as a Cardinal, as the young and growing up Cardinal in his postseasons from 2011 through 2011, 2001 through 2011. And, you know, he had some classic moments. I mean, the Brad Lidge homer, the three home run game in the World Series against Texas at Texas. In his postseasons when the Cardinals had, from 2004 through 2006, and those seasons where the Cardinals had two 100-plus winning seasons, plus the World Series championship, two pennants, through all of that in 3 years. In 40 postseason games from 2004 through 2006, Pujols hit 359. He had a 462 on-base percentage, and he slugged 655. His weighted runs created plus was 81% above the league average. 11 home runs and 28 RBIs. I mean, on and on and on. I swear to you, one time I got an email from a friend, and I can't remember what year it was. It was a year where the Cardinals didn't, you know, make it to the World Series or whatever. And my friend, who I stopped teasing him about in a long time, he sent me a sincere email, and he said, you know, Albert Pujols is great. I'm not denying that, but you know, he doesn't come through in the postseason. And I'm just like, well, wait, can I give you some numbers to show you his postseason stats? I mean, but that it happens. You get frustrated, but unbelievable what that man did his first time around, that 11 years as a Cardinal in the postseason and the regular season, everything. I don't think he gets enough attention for the postseason history. And even in 2022 for the Cardinals, right? His farewell. That's it. They go into game two against the Phillies. They need to win to survive and get to a game three. And in his final game in a Cardinals uniform, Pujols went 2-for-4. And his last at bat ever as a Cardinal. It's in the postseason, but still, last at bat ever as a Cardinal. He rifled a line drive single to left field. That's how he ends his career. I'm wearing the Escogido hat from the Dominican Winter League. That's the team that Pujols managed this year. A little tribute to him. There's one thing I want to get into before I close this out. You know, I'm still looking at some of the stuff I jotted down, and it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. The one thing that bugs me about his career, because people that there was a lot more information that became available later, and I think it was too early to benefit Pujols in terms of the understanding of how great defensively he was at first base. And he did win two gold gloves, but he should have won a lot more. I don't know who – I was reading one of my friends at Fangraphs a few years ago. Basically said he should have had 5 or 6 gold gloves. And I'll just leave you with this, right? When he from 2001 through 2011, again, when he started his career as a Cardinal for 11 seasons, He had 124 defensive run saves. The only guys in baseball that had more over those 11 seasons were Adrian Beltre and Chase Utley. Among first basemen from 2001 through 2011, Pujols had 77 more defensive runs saved than the next first baseman on the list. I think it was Mark Teixeira. He only won two gold gloves. This dude was phenomenal at first base, just absolutely phenomenal. And he never got his just due for that. He got his just due and all hail praise for just about everything else. But that was the one oversight from his first 11 seasons. The Mang should have won more Gold Gloves. He deserved to win more. Some would say he deserved to win maybe. I firmly believe, and I used to argue about this with my friend Jason Stark. Go back and look at 2006. Just go to Fangraphs and, you know, enter single season 2006. And I want you to compare Ryan Howard and Albert Pujols. Ryan Howard, native St. Louisan, had a fantastic season. But it wasn't really close to Pujols across the board. Ryan Howard was a big-time liability defensively, but that's not why they were paying him. The Phillies were paying him to hit a bunch of home runs and hit for massive power, and he did. He was outstanding that year. But Pujols, and you know, if you pardon me, I hope I don't lose you because I'm just going to look this up right away if I could. And then I promise I'll shut up. I got to get to dinner anyway. Let me just bear with me a second. I should have thought of this in advance, but you know how I roll. I'm pretty prepared, but I have a thought that occurs to me, and then I have to act upon it. So I'm looking at Fangraphs now. So I'm looking at 2006 National League performances, right? Pujols led the league in WAR with 8.1. Ryan Howard was at 5.9. If you just look at like the defensive rating, defensive runs saved, it's embarrassing, quite frankly. And Pujols hit 331 that year. He had a much higher, he had an on-base percentage. It was like 80 points higher than Howard. The slugging percentage, actually, that's the irony here. Pujols outslugged Ryan Howard in 2006, 671 slugging percentage to 659. And in terms of offensive value that season, Pujols was 74% above the league average offensively, and Howard was 62% above the league average defensively. And let me look at the fielding right real quick here. And that's, you know, just to back up what I was saying, I don't want to be one of these people that spouts without looking things up. And then I will go. Albert Pujols in 2006 led National League first baseman with 17 defensive runs saved. And you know what Ryan Howard did at first base that year? He was next to last, -9. Defensive run save. So in terms of saving runs, helping pitchers prevent runs, Pujols was 26 runs saved better than Howard. 17 plus 17 defensive run saves compared to -9 defensive run save. Instead, how in the world, because Ryan Howard had a great September, how does that make him the MVP? It's supposed to be a six-month award the entire season. What, because a guy doesn't hit as well as he should for two and a half months, but he's great at the end? You catapult him over somebody who's been great the entire season? Offensively, defensively? All right, I've made my point. I'm very protective. I'm very defensive of the legacy of Albert Pujols. So anyway, I will, in fact, shut up now. But I hope you like this. Because I know a lot of you, and I'm with you, like to complain about the Hall of Fame voting process and this topic of like, come on, you got to make Pujols. There's no reason whatsoever to exclude him from your ballot when he's up for the first time in 2028. I know y'all agree with that. So we're all in the same, we're all in the love boat here today, right? All right, you be good. Be back tomorrow morning. Take care.